Everybody, it's lovely to hear you all. It's lovely to see you all. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for putting up with the chaos. And thank you to Jackie for coming and helping to lead this service this morning. Jackie is a member of St. Mary's Calvary.
Good morning.
I moved the thing too quickly. And so we begin. I hope you have got a copy of the service sheet this morning. I hope it says the 4th of July at the top of it and not the 11th of July. And let's just pause for a moment before we begin. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we say together, Heavenly Father, Heavenly King, we come before you today just as we are. We come to listen and to learn. We come and lay everything down to stand in your awesome presence. Amen. Loving God, all-sufficient one, we acknowledge your presence and we worship you. We adore you, Lord of all. We worship you, Lord Jesus Christ, holy and anointed one. You laid down your life that we might live. We adore you, Lord of all. We welcome your authority and influence in our lives, Holy Spirit. You intercede for us when we have no strength. You are with us and guide us in our weakness. We adore you, Lord of all. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are worthy of all our praise. We adore you, Lord of all. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the second reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Coming back home after a time away can often be exciting, but it can also be a strange experience. I remember coming home after several months traveling around America, and I just felt differently about everything. I really didn't know how to start sharing my experiences. My experience had shaped me and changed me, and much as I tried to share it with others, they just didn't seem to get it. It was much easier to try and slip back to the place where I had been before I left. The same thing used to happen every year at church. A whole group of people, young and old, would go to a big Christian festival like Spring Harvest or New Wine, and sometimes I went with them. The experience was always wonderful, and they would come back full of it. They had learnt fantastic new songs, experienced exhilarating worship, heard inspiring speakers, and if you had stayed at home and church had been half empty for a couple of weeks, it was always good when they came back. But if I'm honest, if you hadn't been, it was very hard not to feel a little put out, a bit miffed, especially if they were younger people, started pointing out the shortcomings of your own spiritual life. Our gospel reading this morning contains two stories, Jesus coming home and Jesus sending out his disciples. Jesus arrives back home, having had a long stretch of fruitful ministry. He has gathered 12 disciples together. He has taught parables. He has healed the sick, calmed a storm, and raised a little girl from death to life. He has become a celebrity. He has become a local hero, or so you would think. Actually, Jesus' return visit home starts off well. He goes to the synagogue, the place where he has worshipped since a boy, and preaches a stonking sermon. Mark records that many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they say? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? Where did this man get all these things? What are these miracles? Many in the congregation were astonished. Many, but not all. At that point, the mood in the synagogue and amongst the crowd changes. Mark doesn't tell us how or why. Maybe there was someone there who was jealous of Mary's son. That can happen to mothers, I know. Or maybe there was someone there who had been a childhood friend of Jesus. and he just stayed at home continuing the family trade. Or maybe there's just someone who is a stirrer, who likes to ask the prickly questions and stir things up a bit. There's always one, isn't there? The questions now become barbed. The astonishment and the amazement turns to accusation. The comments are full of contempt. And before long, the people are taking offence. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? You can hear the sneers. The crowd have made their decision. Jesus has got above himself. He should know his place. He is presuming too much. In her sermon, Sapping God's Strength, Barbara Brown Taylor points out that in Jesus' day, the only reason to describe someone by using the mother's name was to question their legitimacy. In other words, we don't know who his father is, so we have to use his mother's name. It's a public slur. It's an insult. It's supposed to shut Jesus up. And they call him the carpenter's son. It's another put down. In a society where status was everything, it was not possible for a manual worker to amount to anything much, especially not becoming a leader. Jesus had no business speaking with authority. There's definitely no way he can be a Messiah. And then comes the shocking truth. Did you notice it in the reading? He could not do any miracle there. He could do no mighty work there. He could do no deed of power there. What an extraordinary thing to say. In some mysterious and alarming way, the people's attitude, their small-mindedness, their inability to see what was in front of them, their judgments and prejudices, their scepticism, their inability to see Jesus as the man he had become, his life and his mission, kept them in spiritual darkness. Their lack of faith mattered. It had real and significant consequences. Their attitude constrained Jesus and prevented him from doing all that he wanted to, all that he longed to do, the place that he had grown up among the people he knew so well. That made me think hard and deep. My attitude has consequences. The Spirit calls us to move in the power of the Spirit to bring life and love to the world. The Spirit calls us to look for the new things he is doing and join in. My attitude towards that, my refusal to participate, matters. And the crowd's refusal to recognize what was going on before their eyes was that they missed the very presence of God standing right there with them. Jesus' very own faith community failed to recognize the truth of who he is. I have found myself wondering what that means for me and for us. When have I failed to recognize the holy thing that is right in front of me? When have I insisted that God just acts in a way that props up the status quo? How would I react if God showed up unexpectedly and asked us to do a new thing? The challenge of our gospel reading this morning is this. Are we the 2021 equivalent of the people in Jesus' hometown? The uncomfortable fact is that the crowd were offended. Jesus offends. He calls us to really look for him, to listen to him, and let his Spirit change us, not to limit him. Jesus dares us always to see and experience him anew. And may we do so this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And now we turn to prayer.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God.
Hear us, good Lord.
Lord God, through your grace we are your people. Through your Son you have redeemed us. In your Spirit you have made us your own. We pray for your church here in this place and throughout the world. We lift to you our leaders and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering hardship. Bless and protect them, we pray, and show us how we can be of service to them. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God.
Hear us, good Lord.
We pray for our nation and for the nations of the world, especially those who face an uncertain future with scant resources. We pray for wise and godly leaders and a willingness to collaborate for the goodwill of all your children. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God.
Hear us, good Lord.
We pray for all who are sick and those who care for them. Today we remember especially Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Roy, Christine, Mike, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, and Ron. We lift them to you, Lord Jesus, and pray for your healing and your peace. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God.
Hear us, good Lord.
We remember with thanksgiving all whom we love and see no longer. We pray for those who mourn and give thanks, especially for the lives of Prissy Howell, Vivian Bolt, Roy Weber, and Susie Rostron, and all the recently departed. Grant us with them and all who trust in you the joy of your salvation. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God.
Hear us, good Lord.
And the collect for the day. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through Jesus our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us again this morning. Thank you, Jackie, for helping me lead this service. It's great to have a companion here. Thank you for those who have offered their help. I think Jenny Palmer is helping lead the service next week. If you would like to come and help, that would be a great thing. Thank you, Jackie. It makes all the difference. It really does. We hope that you have a great week. The coffee morning will continue this week. The following week, the coffee morning group are actually meeting in person at Bridwell Park at 10 o'clock for coffee. If you would like to join them and you need a lift, please do contact Stephen Roach. His telephone number is on the X Valley update. If you haven't got access to that, then please contact the office. Steve hopefully will be back in the office maybe a bit next week, but he's actually not terribly well at the moment. Dawn will pop into the office, so somebody will try and pick up any messages. Hopefully it won't be too chaotic, but it probably will be. Anyway, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Enjoy the football and Wimbledon and anything else that's going to happen as well. Thank you so much for your company. You have been a ray of sunshine. God bless.
To Ronnie.